We are holding on Yud Amud Aleph about the middle of the widest line. The beginning of the line is Es Shlomi. Still in the middle of the topic of Tzedakah. We had in the Mishnah, to recap for your benefit, the Mishnah had talked about the amount of time a person has to live in a city before he has to contribute to things like the city defenses, the upkeep of the walls, and whatever. That led to a discussion how long a person needs to live in town before he has to contribute to the various tzedakah funds, and that leads to a more general discussion. Of tzedakah.
30 days
for certain kinds of tzedakah, 3 months for others, 6 years. That's it. Okay, time. We learn in a Braise that Rabbi Yehuda Omer, G'doyla tzedakah shemekarevet ha'gula, famous vote, greatest tzedakah that it brings close to Gula. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, Koyam Hashem, Shim, it brings the Gula closer. Because it doesn't bring it immediately. You see that tzedakah has been done and the Gula is not here yet, but it brings it closer. Shenemar, Koyam Hashem, and besides, that's the lashon that the pasuk uses. Shenemar, Koyam Hashem, Shimru Mishkat Basu tzedakah, guard Mishkat, guard justice, and then do tzedakah. Kikrevi Yeshuasi Love, because the Eved Shem says, my salvation is close to come, but tzedakah le'igolos, and my tzedakah is close to being revealed. So tzedakah brings that closer. In Tanya, the Alter Rebbe explains the deeper reason behind it. As we were talking yesterday, the idea that tzedakah is considered the greatest of all mitzvahs because any other mitzvah a person does with some individual part of their body or some individual faculty of theirs, tzedakah is money that a person earned with their entire mitzvah, putting their entire mitzvah into it, and it's something they could have used to feed their body, and instead they're giving it away, so therefore it counts as the highest kind of mitzvah, and it's mevarah the most kinds, the greatest amount of nitzotis, and therefore it brings the geula closer than any other.
I suggest that you make a little to bring in, and you bring all the sources, including the Gemara, on the tzedakah.
Okay, we're doing that over here now. Okay. Mefarshim point out, by the way, I think it's Ben Yehoyada points out, so what's the Shimru Mishpat in that case? He says the vote is you got to make sure that the Vasu Tzedakah is done with money that was earned honestly. Who are you? Otherwise, it doesn't really count for this. Who are you? Rabbi Yehuda also used to say, there are 10 hard things, each one harder than the next, that were or more powerful than the next that were created in the world. Harkosha, a mountain, is a very powerful thing. Barzo machatzeh, but iron is stronger because it cuts it. Barzo kosha, iron is a strong thing. Urim mefapoi, but fire can melt it. Ur kosha, fire is a strong thing. Mayim machavimoyse, but water can overpower it and put it out. Mayim koshim, ovim sovlenoyse, and the witch. Mayim kosha, water can be a pretty powerful thing. It can flood, and cause flood or whatever.
And it puts out a fire.
But on the other hand, the clouds outrank it because the clouds carry the water, which means that they're more powerful than this.
Koshim is literal.
Koshim
is figurative.
It doesn't necessarily mean harder. It means more powerful, like, yeah. Ovim koshim, ruach mefazarta, but the wind can scatter the clouds, so the wind outranks the clouds. Ruach kosha, but guf sovle, but the body is full of air, it's full of wind, and the body is able to hold it in. So the body is stronger. Guf kosha, pachad shovre, but fear breaks the body. Pachad kosha, yayin mefigo, but wine eases away the pain. It makes it dissipate.
What?
It's interesting. There is actually a gear to the other way around. That's brought in some midrashim. The other way around also. Yayin kosher pachad mefigo. The other way around. That wine is a strong thing, but when a person is fearful, that can dissipate the effects of the wine. There's a story that Eber tells involving the Tzemach Tzedek, where one time they gave him wine to drink, figuring that then he's going to make a fool of himself or whatever. And afterwards, he sits down and learns with the chayyus. And then is able to speak and learning properly. And they ask him what so he says, because yayin kosha pachad mefigur, but the pachad of the Eibishter outweighs the wine.
Mefigur means like
dissipates. But yeah. So someone once wrote a letter to the Rebbe asking, what about our Gemara over here? It said yayin kosha pachad mefigur. The other way around. The Rebbe answers, you know, there are the different gear sizes, but look, there's different levels of pachad. Obviously, there's a pachad that wine, you know, a person has an ordinary kind of fear, and yeah, they drink to forget their troubles, but then you have the other way around, you have the kind of pachad that, you know, a person is drunk, but then all of a sudden that kind of pachad sobers them up. Yeah. Okay. Anyway, yayin kosher, wine then is a very strong thing, shenim apachatzai, but sleep dissipates it. So the Gemara mentions in Halacha in a few places, the person drank, and then afterwards he takes a nap for a while, then he's not considered to be drunk anymore. He can serve in the Beis Mikdash, he can duchen, etc. Umisa kosher mikol. Yeah, it has to be if he drank only Ruvius and he sleeps a shiur meal, yeah. Umisa kosher mikol. Death is more powerful than all of them. Even sleep, is only the Gemara says, only 1/60th of death. Or tzedakah matzelas mina misa, but now comes the one that's more powerful than all those. Tzedakah saves from death. Tzedakah tatzel mimavet. So there you go. That's the point of what he's saying over here is even though the Eibishter created all these physical forces. We'll see at the bottom of the Amud, but yes, it means Nodam Hazeh as well. We'll see there's a certain kind of tzedakah that has that particular power. Yeah, we'll get there soon.
Wow.
Yeah. The Maharal explains the vote is because all these other things are physical things. Tzedakah is a ruchniistic thing, so therefore it's on a completely different plane of existence. They say a vart is a privileged vart. I think the germ of it goes back to Meir Shapiro, the founder of Daf Yomi, that actually besides the simple meaning of this, he's also hinting at different places throughout Shas, different dinim that Rabbi Yehuda says in different places about Shas, about each one of these things, where each one is a difficult din to understand on its own terms. A din involving a har, a din involving kud, a din involving barzel, a din involving eish, etc. Okay. Anyway. Come see, the way the Eibishter does things is not like the way a boss of a dom does. Midas boss of a dom, Adam may be dirt and God Olamelech. When it comes to a boss of a dom, a person brings a big present to the king. You can't even be sure they're going to accept your present. It may be considered too cheap a present to honor the king with. And even if they are willing to accept it, is he necessarily because of that? Is he necessarily going to get into the presence of the king? Is he going to get his night in the Lincoln bedroom? For those of us who remember that whole thing, lav davka. But the Eibishter is not like that. Adam noisin prutalon. A person gives one pruta to a poor person. Zoicha makabel pnei shechina, and for that he's zoicha and he's able to greet the face of the shechina.
Wow.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
Meaning, in other words, exactly that. That he has a gilui alakus to him on a certain level. Shenema, as the pasuk says, ani betzedek esva echzefanecha. I through tzedek will be able to see your face. Tzedek meaning tzedaka. Esva b'hakit tmonasecha. I will be satisfied through waking up from your image. What that means, we'll talk on the next line. Where the Gemara will explain what that half of the pasuk means. But meanwhile, the first half, ani betzedek echzefanecha. And in fact, famous expression on this basis, Rabbi Elazar Yohis Prutta La'ani Hilo, V'hadar Matzli, Rabbi Elazar used to give a Prutta to a poor person, and only then would he daven. Omar, he said, based on this, Tichtiv Ani B'Tzedek Echzefanecha. So it says, I will see your face with Tzedek. The first I have to give Tzedek, and then I'll be able to see your face and stand before you in davening. Famous thing, it's brought in Hayom Yom, but in any case, it's brought that the Rebbeim, of course, were always big on this. The Yor Prutalani, there are a number of Maimarim that explore this idea in more detail. To give tzedakah to a goy it's not really the same kind of tzedakah. There is an interesting verse, by the way, that one of the Mephoshim says. The key thing, we don't say Rabbi Elazar put a prutta in the pushka. We say he gave to an ani.
Right.
Ideally, that's the right way to do it. That's the right way to do it. It's actually give to the aniim who are always circulating around the net. But everyone once pointed out also that matzli, besides the Aramaic meaning of it, which means to daven, it also means to clarify. Through that a person gives prutta l'ani, it gives him a clearer path, so there's a clearer view, so to speak, of elikos.
Question though, you said that better thing is to give to Ani himself, right?
Uh-huh.
Then do you say, or aren't you going to say,
depends who the Gabbai Tzedaka is, and yeah, it also depends. You want to give it to him in a way that doesn't embarrass him, yeah. But there's also a difference. If the guy himself is going around in shul, he obviously doesn't have that sense of embarrassment necessarily. Okay, we'll get there. Okay. My Esko
Bahakit. There is a certain degree of.
There's different levels, yeah. There's the famous eight levels of tzedakah, for example, yeah. Okay. My esba b'hakat tzmonasecha, what does the second half of the pasuk mean? I will be satisfied through or at the time of waking up with your image. It means, Omer of Nachman, it's like, Elo tamed hachamim shemenadin and shena meinem b'ayla mazeh. This refers to the tamed hachamim who let sleep escape from their eyes in this world in order to stay up late learning Torah. Ba'akadosh Baruch Hu, Machbien. The Ziva Shechina Lo'olam Haba, and the Eibishter gives them, and the Eibishter satisfies them with the radiance of the Shechina in Olam Haba. So Etzba B'Hakit, because I stayed up, because I stayed awake,
so
therefore
Etzba
Tzmanot. No. This is a separate thing. These are two separate things. There's Tzedakah, and there's the importance of staying up late to learn Torah.
So why are we bringing this?
We're bringing them because we want to explain the first half of the pasuk. We're explaining the second half.
What?
Right. The Gemara says in Eruvin, right, that the night, particularly the moon, was created for the sake of us being able to learn. What does it mean? It says in the pasuk in Mishlei, the one who's kind to the poor, who gives them tzedakah, is lending to Hashem. Means umole mikro kosta v'yafshal omer. If you didn't have that's the point. We're going to say umole mikro kosta v'yafshal omer. The word for the fact that the pasuk says this, it would be impossible to say because it comes out kaviyachol and based on another pasuk eved loyva leishmalva. There's another pasuk in Mishlei that says the loyva becomes an eved to the malva, not literally in the sense the malva can't make him work for him. That would be ribbis. But we have in various places in Shas, we'll have later on in Ar Masechta, for example, certain dinim that come from this. If the malva decides, for example, that he wants to go to a higher beis din in order to judge the case, the loiva is obligated to go with him there. The loiva is the one who has to bring proofs that the halva was paid off, etc. So in that sense, here we're saying that when a person gives tzedakah, the Eibishter considers it like he lent him, like the person lent the Eibishter money. So now, kaviyachol, the Eibishter is now under a shibud to that person. Eved loiva leishmalva. Well, it means, there is that you can test the Eibishter. Well, not everybody agrees you can test the Eibishter on tzedakah in general. Yes, show him that only applies to Maaseh. Okay. All right. Reb Chiya Ba'aba, Reb Yochanan Rami. Reb Yochanan pointed out a contradiction between two psukim, also in Mishlei. Ksiv lo yoyel hoin b'yoyim evra. One pasuk says that a fortune will not help a person on a day of anger, or tzedakah tafel mimavis, but tzedakah saves from death. Then you have a different pasuk that says, "Lo ya'ilu oitzris resha." The treasuries of rishus will not be effective, will not help. Utzdakah tafel mimavis. So shtei tzedakas halalu lama. Why does it repeat the words utzdakah tafel mimavis in two different psukim? And Marsha explains also it's a little bit of a contradiction between the psukim. One of them implies that any kind of fortune won't help, and the other one implies only if it's a fortune that was gained by rishus illegally. So which is it? So achas shematilata mimisa mishona. The pasuk is saying there's two kinds of tzedakah. One kind that saves a person from an unnatural death, but achas shematilata medina shel gehenim, and the other one that saves a person from the din of gehenim. Which actually Tosfos points out when we say the one that saves from misa mishona, we don't mean it doesn't also save the person from gehenim. Most mitzvahs, the shkar for them is in olam haba. But there's a certain kind of tzedakah which even has the benefits, so like we say every morning in davening, Urchol Meperi saying, Ba'olam Hazeh, Ba'karen Kaimus Lo'olam Haba. And that's what we mean, that it saves him from Misa Mishuna in this world, as well as it saves him from Gehenna in the next world.
Going to shul also.
That's another one, but here we're talking about tzedakah. The Ezer Hisham, Matthew,
we said that tzedakah is the greatest.
But we're saying within tzedakah itself, again, you have the Rambam summarizes as eight different levels of tzedakah based on this Gemara, based on a Gemara in Ksuvas. There's a number of places in Shas where it talks about various dinim and agadtas and whatever about tzedakah, so the Rambam put it all together to come up with the eight levels. But yeah. So the Ezer Hisham, Matthew, Dina Shel Gehenim, which kind of tzedakah is it that saves the person from Dina Shel Gehenim? That is Ahu Dechtiv Be'evra. That's the kind of which it says that a fortune won't help on a day of Evra, which means anger, but with tzedakah tafel mimavis. What is Evra? Dechtiv yoyim Evra hayoyim ahu. It says about Gehenim, that day is a day of anger. This is the day when the Eibishter punishes the Rishayim. So we see that Evra is associated with Gehenim.
Is that one day in general?
Doesn't mean a day necessarily, a period, whatever. But the point is that there's a certain type. Evra is a term associated with Gehenna.
That's
the Evra of Hashem. Yeah. So the kind that saves a person from Gehenna is the kind that the Lo Yoyel Hoin B'Yem Evra. Which kind? Which kind of Zaka is so powerful that it can not only help against Gehenna, but it also saves a person from Misa Mishona. That is Noisna Ve'enia Deilami Noisna, Noitla Ve'enia Deilami Noitla. That's when you give, but you don't know who you're giving to, and the recipient receives it, and he doesn't know who he received it from. In other words, it's completely anonymous.
Like putting it in,
Rashi says, like, for example, giving it to the purse of the Gabbai Tzedakah, right. So then the point of it is also that, you know,
why did you say previously you have to give to Anani if you don't, if it's greater to give it someone something you don't know?
Again, because I think there may be a difference between, we're talking different kinds of anim. You know, you have the kind of ani who circulates around the shul or sits there or whatever in the street collecting, you know, so he's not going to be embarrassed because he's anyway collecting from everybody. Mashenkin, you have a poor person who, like, you know, he's living at home and doesn't, and nobody knows he's poor or whatever, you know, and then somebody comes and gives him money. It would be embarrassing for him. Mashenkin, if he doesn't know, then, yeah. But Amram explains that one reason why is because if you give it without knowing who you're giving it to, and then the person doesn't receive it and doesn't know who you received it from, it spares him embarrassment, but it also means you're not getting any cover for the tzedakah. That's also a big thing.
Which is anah, basically.
Which is, yeah, if you got covered for it, that would lose a little bit of your schar, because you get.
And then the embarrassment is like a small visa if you
start. Yeah. Maybe that too, yeah. So. Noisna ve'eni adeh lemi noisna, when we say that you give tzedakah without knowing who you're giving it to, la puki midvar ukva. That means, in other words, we're not talking about the kind of tzedakah that ma'ukva gave. That's the Gemara in Ksubos over there, we learned it a couple of years back, that ma'ukva had a person in his neighborhood who he knew was poor, but this guy people didn't know about him to give him tzedakah. Rav Ukva used to send him every day, used to put every day 4 zuz in the hinge of his door. And the guy would come and find them. And then you have the whole story over there. One day, the guy comes running after to try and find him, and my Ukva and his wife go and hide in the oven. That's the famous story where his wife's feet don't get burned and his do. The point is, my Ukva was doing tzedakah with one level of seiser. He knows who he's giving it to, but the other person doesn't know who he's receiving it from. We're saying that's not the ultimate level of tzedakah. And when we say the person receives it without knowing who it's from, the Gemara also describes over there that Rav Abba used to take money and put it in and sling it behind his back, wrapped up in his scarf, and people would sit in places where there are aniyim. The ani would come and take the money, so he doesn't know who received it, but the ani knows where he got it from. That's also not the highest level of tzedakah. So we're saying that the highest level within tzedakah itself.
They know each other.
Right, where they don't know each other. So that's actually the Rambam's second level of tzedakah. The first level that Rambam says is helping a person get a job or lending him money or whatever, but that's not tzedakah, really. That's a whole different thing. Within tzedakah itself, the highest kind is where it's completely anonymous. Yeah. Double blind, yeah. So what should you do? Like we just said, you should put the money into the purse of tzedakah, and that way it's completely anonymous from both sides. The Gemara says, Meisvit, I have a contradiction. You're telling me the best thing to do is to put it in the Aunik Yishol Tzedakah? Not necessarily. We learn in a Braisa, Ma Yasa Adam V'yula Bonim Schor, and what should a person do in order that he should have the schos to have male children? Now, a person needs to have sons and daughters, but there's a certain mila to having boys. What should a person do to accomplish that? Rabbi Eliezer says he should give Tzedakah, he should spread out his money generously in Tzedakah to the poor. Rabbi Yeshua says he should make his wife happy before they do the Dvar Mitzvah, before they have relations.
By what? By giving her tzedakah?
No. Just make her happy in whatever way. We'll put her in a good mood. The Gemara mentions in a number of places this famous thing, Isha Mazrach Tzila, you let us zachar. So therefore, if you put her in a good mood, and therefore she's more likely to be Mazriya first, then therefore you're more likely to have start. Rabbi Yeshua, yeah. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov says, okay, Rabbi Eliezer is saying that you should give money generously to tzedakah. However, there's a catch. Lo yitin odem pruta la'avnik yishol tzedakah. A person shouldn't be putting even a pruta into the purse of tzedakah. Elim kei memuna ala k'rav Hanani ben Chadyan. Unless you have somebody like Rav Hanani ben Chadyan who is in charge of it. Rav Hanani ben Chadyan, we know, he was one of the famous Asar Aru Gemalchus, but the Gemara tells in Avodah Zarah, Rashi, and Tosfos rather, brings it over here. He was a gabbai tzedakah, and he describes over there one time he mixed up money of Purim with his own money. Rashi gives two explanations over there. One of them is that it was his own personal money that he had put away for his own Purim, so that he got it mixed up with the tzedakah money. The other explanation, Rashi says, is there was money that was collected specifically for the Sudas Purim, which, as we've learned before in Bava Metzia, is supposed to be used specifically for the Sudas Purim. He gave it to the Anim thinking it was regular tzedakah, and afterwards he reimbursed it out of his own money. So either way, he reimbursed it. He gave the whole thing to tzedakah. He reimbursed it out of his own money. So we see that's a real, honest gabbai tzedakah. Otherwise, not necessarily. The Tosfos, by the way, says all it means when we compare the gabbai tzedakah has to be like Rav Hananim and Shadyan means as far as honesty like that. Doesn't mean he has to be a great tzaddik like Rav Hananim and Shadyan. On the other hand, the Rambam does use the word chacham, implying that at least the person has to be a chacham, although some of the Mephoshim on the Rambam say maybe it doesn't mean a chacham in Torah, maybe it means a chacham in practicality, to know how to be able to give the tzedakah and make it go as far as possible. Okay. Anyway, so it's not necessarily such a good thing to put money into the Aharon Kishol Tzedakah. The answer is Ki Kamrin Dimamani, Alek Rav Chanani Dimamani, Alek Rav Chanani Menchadin. Yeah, when we say that the best thing is to give into the Aharon Kishol Tzedakah is when you have Rav Chanani Menchadin in charge of it. When not, then yeah, then you have to resort to Utama Ukva's order. Again, it depends. According to Tosfos, all you need is that he has to have Nemonos, that he has to be scrupulously honest like that. That's not hard to find. Even according to the Rambam, they need a Chacham. Again, Lavdavka means a Chacham who's like one of the like a world class Talmud Chacham, you know?
Another way how you might be able to do it is do the same thing as Rav Abba did, except that you will hide your face. And
yeah, but they still know who you are. They can still see who is sitting there. I don't know. Maybe.
Not necessarily. Okay,
maybe. All right. More on Tzedakah. Omer Rabbo, Omer Moshe lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Moshe says to the Eibishter at one point, Rabbeinu Shalom, B'mot Torum Keren Yisrael. With what is the strength and the glory of the Jewish people going to be exalted? Omer Lo B'Kitisa. So he tells him through Kitisa, when you want to lift up their heads, take from them money for tzedakah. Kitisa as Rosh B'nei Yisrael, v'nos nu'ish kai for nafshe. They have to give money for tzedakah. One of the many meanings of this is he's talking after the Chet HaEgel, like what's going to restore them to their original status. There is a mimer that the Rebbe once said on this. It's in Maimonides Melukah, where the Rebbe analyzes this in detail of Yichsidus based on a mimer of the Rebbe Rashab. That you have two different things. There's Roish and there's Keren. Roish represents the natural Ava that a person has for the Eibishter, like it's talking in these days Tanya. Keren represents what does Keren represent in that scheme of things? I think it represents the Rotten Elyon or something. And so the question is, how do you raise up both of them? And the answer is, you need the two halves of it. You need them to give. You need you to be taken from them, and it has to be accomplished through Moshe Rabbeinu. That's the B'mot Torum Keren Yisrael. How is this going to be accomplished that the Jewish people are going to get? No, that's what Keren represents, the Pnimius and Neshama. That's what it is. That represents the inner core of the Neshama. How is that going to be lifted up back where it's supposed to be? You need Moshe Rabbeinu. You need the Moshe Shabbat HaBecha, the Koyach HaKachma of a person, the Koyach HaBitl in a person to raise himself up through giving tzedakah.
So you need
tzedakah. You need the person himself needs to call on their power of Chachma and be ready to give tzedakah.
To reach the highest levels,
yeah.
So if you don't have that chachma,
a person has that chachma. They just need to evoke it and make it a reality. They ask Shlomo Amalek, how far does the power of tzedakah extend? And he says, go and take a look and tell him what my father David wrote. The pasuk says, "Pizar nosan love yoinu." A person gave out, spread out his money generously for the poor. Tzidkase emetislad. His tzidkus then endures. Daka endures forever. Kainai torah b'chavad. His horn again, meaning his chashivus, will be raised up forever.
Did he say that by modesty, or did he say that because?
No, he's saying that you want the answer.
He was extremely rich.
Well, what does that have to do with it? He's saying they're asking him.
Have given a lot of tzedakah.
He's saying you can see from what my father David wrote how powerful tzedakah is, how far, how much the reward from the Eibishter is for it. Counter totem b'chavad that it endures forever. Counter totem b'chavad and its keren will be raised up forever. Will be raised up with honor. Rav Abba Amamahacha. Rav Abba says you have a different pasuk that expresses a similar idea. The pasuk says, pasuk from Yeshaya, "Humeroimim Yishkein." This person, in previous pasukim before that, it describes the person who keeps mitzvahs honestly. "Humeroimim Yishkein." This person will dwell in the highest places. Mitzadei Sloy Misgaboy. He'll have a fortress among the rocks. Will be his strength. Will be his strong place. Lachmei Nitan. His bread is given. Meim of Nemanim. His water is faithful. Is given faithfully. Meaning, Matam, Ramim Yishkin, Mitzadei Sloy Misgaboy. Why did he deserve such a great thing that he's in the high places and among the lofty rocks and whatever, which also refers to high levels in Ruchnius? Mishum the Lachmei Nitanim Meim of Nemanim, because he gave his bread and his water was always reliably available. Marsha explains also there's a nuance in here. In that story of Ma'ukba, when you have over there where his wife's feet didn't get burnt and his did, the vort is over there, what was the vort? She explains why, because I give them food and they can use it right away. You give them money and they need to go spend it at a store first. So they have more immediate hanah from me than they do from you. It's a similar thing in Tainus between Abba Chilki and his wife.
You have to give them food or you have to...
No. The point is that if you give them money is also a great thing, but giving them food in a way has an advantage. So therefore, in our pasuk, you have Mitzvot sloyim misgabe. Sloyim has a double meaning. It means rocks, but it also means money, like a seller throughout Shas. So that's one level. On the other hand, lachma nitan meim of nemonim refers to the second level, even higher than that, the housewife's level, where the bala sabayis, where she gives actual bread and water.
From the money.
Well, but fine. We're saying, in other words, each one has their own way of doing things. There's giving money, and then there's giving food. They also asked Shlomo another thing, not directly related to what we were talking about, but just another thing that they asked Shlomo. Ezehu ben ha'olam haba. What is a person who's really deserving of olam haba? Amalahem kol shekneged skein of kavod. He says those kind of people of whom the pasuk says in front of his elders there is covered, meaning the ones who are honored in this world because they have chachma. Zikna is a zeshakana chachma. So those who have covered because of the Torah that they accomplished, they are the ones who are the real bnei olam haba. Not to say that
from learning Torah,
yeah. Not to say that other people who don't learn Torah are not, but there can be a person can be in bnei olam haba for other reasons as well. But this is one of the major ones, basically.
But is it greater than tzedakah? We said tzedakah.
No, the greatest. Each one has its own advantages. But we're saying this is a person who can be considered a bnei olam haba. Bnei olam haba doesn't only mean that he's destined for olam haba. Ultimately, kol yisrael is some kind of olam haba. Bnei olam haba is like, for example, when you say, for example, that somebody is a bar mitzvah, right? It means that the mitzvahs are now a part of him. Like, so bnei olam haba also means like somebody who olam haba is like now a part of him even now. Kihadi Yosef Breder of Yeshua, as we find the example of the story of Rabbi Yosef, the son of Rabbi Yeshua, this is Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Cholash, he became sick, ingid, and he fainted, or he expired, and the Shama left him. Eventually he recovered. Amalei Abu Amai Chazis, so his father asked him, what did you see while you were there in the Olam Amos? Amalei, he says to him, Olam Hapuch Reisi, I saw an upside down world. El Yonu Lamata V'Tachtonu Lamayla, those who in this world are above, let's say, for example, Rashi says because of their riches. In the next world, I see them down below. V'taktonim, and the ones who in this world are low, the anim, for example, I see them high up over there. Tosfos adds an interesting nuance, quoting from Ben Hananel, the Gaonim had a Kabbalah that, specifically, an example of this, is, besides Anius and Ashiras, like Rashi says, another example of what he saw as Olam Hapuch is, in this world, you had Rabbi Yehuda, the Amora, who was a Talmud of Shmuel, as we know throughout Shas. In Olam Haba, he saw the other way around. Shmuel sitting as a Talmud in front of Rabbi Yehuda. Why? Because of the Gemara in Shabbos tells a short story over there that a woman one time comes with a complaint about a din Torah that somebody had cheated her or whatever. She comes to Shmuel and is crying out for justice, and Shmuel ignores her. So Rabbi Yehuda says, "How you talking? What about the pasuk says you're not supposed to ignore something like that?" And Shmuel says, "It's not my department." There's Ma'ukva over here. He's the Resh Kibbutz. He's the Av Beis Din. If she needs a Din Torah, she should be going to him.
Was that correct?
It may well have been correct, but because Rabbi Yehuda had the break type to call Shmuel out on it, therefore, in that sense, in the Olam Emes, where Emes is what rules, then therefore he has the right to be Rebbe, to be Shmuel's Rebbe, because in that sense he was his Rebbe.
What did you read then?
The Tosfos brings the basic fact, but yeah.
In this Gemara?
And then right over here, in the Torah, so Yonim Lamayla, yeah. Lamata, yeah. So, Amalei, so Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi tells him, Olam Borei, so don't think it's an upside-down world that you saw. That's the real world, yeah. Okay. So he asked him, by the way, V'anan
Hesi Chadisi. The Rebbe used to say what is in Gashmas is really in Ruchnias.
Yeah.
Here we're saying what is in Ruchnias
is
the prime...
No, but that's what we're saying, in other words, that the... We talk about, for example, all over the place in Chassidus. I mean, we normally take it as a commonplace that Gashmius is lower than Ruchnius, but Chassidus kind of turns that on its head and explains how Gashmius is a greater, evokes Elikus more than Ruchnius, in a sense, because it thinks of itself as something independent, which reflects the independence of Hashem, the fact that he's not taller than anything else. And again, HaKadosh Baruch Hu talks extensively about that. And therefore, that Nisabah HaKadosh Baruch obviously did it with Gatonim, that the Eved want Gatonim more than anything else to bring out the reality of Elikos. Yeah. Okay. So, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi asked him, V'anan hechi chazitinan? How about us, meaning me? What did you see? What did you see? What's my level in Gan Eden? come away. So he asked that to his son, the same son whose neshama had gone up there and had a sneak peek at it. He's asking him to tell me what's my situation over there. Amalei, so Rabbi Yosef tells him, "Kihechid chashvin and hocha chashvin and hasam." We're just as meaning you and I guess himself as well, are just as important there as here. This is why we're bringing this in. Negev skein of kavod. They had kavod for their Torah, for their chachma in this world, and also they will have in the next world. And Rabbi Yosef says, "V'shamayti shoyomim." I also, while I was up there, I heard them saying, "Ashrei mishabalakan v'tamud biyadei." Happy is a person who comes here to the Olam HaEmes and has his learning in his hand, meaning that he hasn't forgotten it. But actually, that the Alter Rebbe puts an interesting spin on it also in Tanya and Perek Mem, because it can happen that a person can forget their learning. But so if a person forgot it, then it's not such a good thing. But we're saying when a person comes there and he still has it in his hand, meaning they remembered it, then it's a very good thing. You find that a couple of places in Shas, they mentioned there's different places where the Gemara mentions, for example, Moed Katan, that Rav Ashi was given notice 30 days before he passed away. The Malcolm of Us came to him and told him, "Your time is almost up." And Rav Ashi asked for a 30-day extension so he can review his learning one last time in order to be mekayem. The Alter Rebbe puts an interesting spin on it in Tanya, in Perek Mem, that it also means that the person comes up Lamaila with Talmud Biyode, in other words, that his learning was done L'Shem Shemayim, not for ulterior motives, because if it's done for ulterior motives, it doesn't come Biyode, it stays down here. Only if he learns it L'Shem Shemayim, with Ava and Yira, then it goes up with him, and then when he goes up there, then it's Biyode in his hands coming with
him. Rav Ashi got something that David Arech wanted and didn't get? How can that be?
It's a good question. I don't know.
Any other tzaddik who...
I don't know. Not that I know of. But,
He was the only one.
I don't know. Okay.
Another explanation that I heard was that the idea is the Talmud of Biyada, that his Talmud was also what he did.
Ah, okay. That is learning. That is action matches learning. Very good. Okay.
That's right.
Okay. Good. Okay. To show you, then Rabbi Yosef says, I heard another thing while I was there also. Harugi malchus en kolberi yichol lamed min chesasam. Those who were killed by the government, by the Roman government, no other creature can stand in their area of Gan Eden. They have the highest level. So the question is, man ninhu.
That includes all the...
We have to figure, man ninhu, which harugi malchus are we talking about? Ilema Rav Akiva v'chaverav, are we talking about, for example, the Asor harugi malchus, Rav Akiva and the other great chachamim? What are you saying, mishum harugi malchus v'tuloi? What are you saying, the only reason they get such a high level is only because they were killed by Kiddush Hashem? Pshita, the Lav Hachinami. I mean, obviously, they were great tzaddikim without that. They have enough reason to have their own unique place in Gan Eden besides that. Ela harugi lud. No, rather, what this announcement was talking about harugi lud. Rashi brings the story briefly over here. The Gemara and Tainus brings it in a little more detail. The Roman emperor's daughter was once found dead. They libeled the Jews, the famous blood libel. So this two brothers named Lulianus and Papus volunteered themselves as we're the ones who did it so that they would be killed and the rest of the Jewish people would be spared. So if the whole Jewish people are in danger, yeah. So like this, they would have been killed. Like this, they would have been killed as well. Like this, the whole Jewish people would have been killed, them included. So. Maybe they figured one.
They needed two.
I don't know.
She put herself.
That's true. Yeah. So anyway, so they're the Harugi Malchus, so therefore, so they get this special place in Gan Eden because they're with their mysterious nefesh, they saved the whole Jewish people.
So just these two.
We're saying these two are on a special level of their own.
Like,
I mean, more generally, of course, anybody who's killed our Kiddush Hashem has a certain special place in Gan Eden. But nobody else can possibly approach them. That's reserved for these two. Getting back now to tzedakah. Tanya, Omalehen Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai l'talmidim. Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai one time says to his talmidim, "Bonai, ma'u shama akostev?" I want you to explain to me, what does it mean when the pasuk says, "Tzedakah teroimim goy," tzedakah lifts up a nation, "v'chesed la'umim chatas," and the chesed of people is a sin, or a chatas. What does that mean? What's the difference between goy and la'um? What's the difference between tzedakah and chesed in this connection? And why should chesed be a chatas? So, Nana Rabbi Eliezer Vamas, Rabbi Eliezer spoke up and said, it means like this, Tzedakah Terumim Goy Eile Yisrael. The Goy in the first half of the pasuk means the Jewish people. Dichtivu Mikam Choyitzor Goy Achabarim. famous thing. They say there was a censor one time where the goyim at some point took offense to words like goy and nochri and whatever in the Gemara, and they demanded that they be replaced with words like akum or whatever. Yeah. So there was so they tell about one time there was a censor who didn't know, who was completely ignorant, but all he knew is every time it says goy, you got to replace it. So fine, in davening it, shema akum kodesh. Or Shiva Sa'akum instead of Shiva Sa'minim. Yeah. Okay. So that's Tzedakah Terumim Goy. The Chesed Umim Chatos, and when it continues, the Chesed of the peoples is a Chatos, meaning called Tzedakah V'Chesed Terumus Ovid Kachavim
Oisei,
of the nations, of the world. Any Tzedakah, or even Chesed, even though Chesed is higher than Tzedakah, because Chesed is Milas Chesed, which is Gufay, even with that the Goyim. Tzedakah is Tzedakah, the Gemara explains in Sukkah, that's for one thing. Tzedakah is with your mom, and Chesed is with your Guf. Is when you actually do a chet, for example, you go and help somebody physically. Right. Okay. So, but when the goyim do it chet lahem, it's considered a sin for them. She'enim osim elalis gadol boy, because they only do it for the sake of becoming greater, like being able to live longer or having more children or whatever. They're doing it for ulterior motives. Shenema, you have a pasuk that says
that it's not for ulterior motives, it's also very good.
Well, right, but the problem is that when the goyim do it, inevitably they do it for, at the end of, at the end, there's going to be a line soon in the Gemara, which is without the Rebbe quotes at the end of column, is that Einoritin Elalis Yair, that they only do it in order to pride themselves, out the Rebbe quotes it at the end of the first parak of Tanya, that goyim have a nefesh of Bahamas from Sholosh Klipas Atmeyas. By definition, Sholosh Klipas Atmeyas has no revealed good in it. Therefore, when they do anything good, it's always for an ulterior motive. And then Shurim B'Sefer Tanya talks about that the idea that this talk about run-of-the-mill goyim. You have the Chassidu or Masa'olam who have a Nefesh Abahamas from Klipas Noga. They are able to do it for pure motives. But here, maybe that's where the Gemara specifies over here, almost Ovdei Kachavim. If they're worshipping Abba Zara, of necessity, by definition, they're not Chassidu or Masa'olam.
What about the goyim who descend from Jews? Some of them do.
If they descend from, are they goyim or are they Jews? I mean, I don't know. Okay. Besides, can you see into their minds and see why they're really doing it? Anyway.
What do we care about Shabbat? Doing it,
because Rashi says, for one thing, they're only doing it because of the ulterior motive, because they want to live long or whatever. And if not, let's say, for example, if it turns out that he doesn't end up getting what he wanted, then he regrets it. Then he regrets having ever given it in the first place. And that's
why.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What? The Gemara itself is going to talk. The Gemara doesn't spell that out in so many words. The Gemara mentions that in a few other places. Rashi mentions it over here. Okay. So, Shenema, you have a pasuk. The pasuk describes how Daryavesh gives instructions for the upkeep of the Beit HaMikdash, you should give them whatever they need for the maintenance and for the korbanos and whatever. He says, "Bilehevon mahakrib in nechochin lelakoshmaya." The reason I want this to happen is that I want that they should be bringing korbanos to Hashem in heaven, umetzalayin lechayim malko ubnoi, and davening for the life of the king and his son. So we see he's doing it only for that ulterior motive. The question is, so what? What's wrong with giving tzedakah for an ulterior motive? Isn't that considered complete tzedakah? But Hatanya, don't we learn in a braisa? If somebody says, I'm giving the seller to tzedakah in order that my children should live, or in order that I should be zoicha to chayan abba, hareis a tzadik gomer. Then he's a tzad, not a total tzadik gomer, Rashi says a tzadik gomer in this sense, meaning this particular mitzvah that he did is the mitzvah of a tzadik gomer. Right.
What?
He's not a chassid, maybe, but at least for this purpose, he can be considered a tzaddik. The answer, no, but it doesn't mean a tzaddik gomer, and certainly not in Tanya's sense, but not even in the sense that the world uses tzaddik, a person who has more mitzvahs than aveiros. All it means is it itself is a complete mitzvah. It's not a deficient mitzvah or whatever. And the answer is like kasha, can be Yisrael, can be Ovid Kachavim. It depends whether it's a Jew or a goy. Again, Rashi says the reason is because for a yid is doing it l'shem shemayim deep down. Whatever the famous thing that a yid wants to do what the Eibishter wants, just sometimes Yetzirah gets in the way. So therefore, even if the thing doesn't happen that he wanted, even if his children don't live chas v'shalom or whatever, he still doesn't regret it. He did a mitzvah. Whereas a guy is going to regret it. That's Rabbi Eliezer. Then Rabbi Yeshua Bamer. Then Rabbi Yeshua spoke up and said, here's a different explanation of the pasuk. Tzedakah Terumim Goy Eli Yisrael. Yeah, Dechtivu Mikam Chizor Goy Achad. The chesed, but umim chatas, because called tzedakah v'chesed, for almost every column, osin chetu lahen, that any tzedakah and chesed that the goyim do is a chet for them. Shein and osin elakadesha to mashach machusan, because they only do it so that their kingship will last longer.
Same idea.
But it's a different idea. To say that I'm doing it in order, for example, that I and my children will live, okay, that's one thing. But to say that their malchus should be continued, their malchus is opposed to the Eivishter's malchus. Yeah. You don't want that to continue. Shenemar, as we find the pasuk, we learned earlier on Daf Dalet the whole thing with Nebuchadnezzar, how Daniel advised him to stave off the punishment that was in store for him. He tells him, Lahain Malka, therefore king, Noki Yishbar Allah, let my advice be favorable to you. V'chatoyach v'tzedakah pruk, you should redeem your chatoyim through tzedakah. V'ava yosech, and you deliberate avedus b'meichan anoyin, by being kind to the poor. Hein teve alka l'shlevesach, that way you'll have a lengthy time of peace. B'meichan anoyin, by being kind, anoyin, by being kind to the poor. He's telling him to give tzedakah.
Right,
but that's Daniel was advising him, at least, you know, the Eivishter has a severe punishment in store for you, but still you'd give tzedakah and it'll be delayed. And in fact it was for 12 months. So we see that they only do it for ulterior motives like that in order that their kingship
punished.
Eventually he was punished. Yeah.
But Baba Ben Buddha wasn't.
Right, because we said over there that Hodus is Fortin Eved, he's a Chassi, a Jew, and also the Smithers had to be rebuilt. Then Rabbi Gamliel Vama, then Rabbi Gamliel spoke up. It's interesting, by the way, I think this may be the only place where we find Rabbi Gamliel, the Talmud of Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai. We usually have, you know, you have the five Talmudim of Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai that I mentioned in Pirkei Avos, doesn't mention Rabbi Gamliel among them, but we see from here, where he's asking his Talmudim for an explanation, evidently he must have been here. So, Nen Rabbi Gamliel Vama, Tzedaka Terem Goy Eli Yisrael, Tzedaka Mikam Chay Yisrael, Vagayma, Vechesab Ulim Chatot, here's a different nuance on it. It's a sin for them. Because they only do it in order to pride themselves on it. First we said, Rabbi Eliezer had said they do it in order that they themselves and their children should live long.
Right.
Rabbi Yeshua had added they do it in order that their kingship, that their mouth should endure. Rabbi Gamliel is going further. He's saying they do it only in order to pride them, only in order to pride themselves on it. As we'll see, to pride themselves. Yura means pride. And anybody who's proud winds up in Gehenim. Shenema, as the pasuk says, Zayd Yahir, the deliberate one, the one who does Averis deliberately. Yahir, the proud one. Leitz Shmo, he's called a Letz. He doesn't take the right things seriously. Oysa be'Evras Zodon, he does things with an Evra. He does his deliberate act with Evra. There ain't Evra al Gehenim. And like we said before, Evra refers to Gehenim. Shenem and Yoim Evra Hayemahu. So we see, because he's Yahir, he winds up in Gehenim. One of the Mephoroshim explain, and Yaakov also explains the word is, Rabbi Gamliel is keying on the word Oise in this pasuk. The word Oise in this pasuk seems to be extra. It refers to Tzedakah, but how you might say Tzedakah, like we learned yesterday. Therefore, we can see it's a certain reference to a person who gives Tzedakah for the motive of being able to pride himself on it.
Still considered Tzedakah?
He gave him the poor person, but you can't. It's considered a chet for him because of the motivation that he had for it. And
it's better not to give.
No, wait. Omer Ram Gamliel, Adain Onut Srichen Lamudoi. So Ram Gamliel says, however, we still need to use the Mudoi's explanation, meaning Rabbi Lazar Hamudoi. And Marshal explains because there's something missing from Ram Gamliel's explanation. Okay, so he's giving tzedakah lihis yaharboi. And what's so bad about that?
Yeah.
Okay, we say he falls into Gehenim. That's what he says. We need Rabbi Lazar Hamadori's explanation to complement my own. That he says, Tzedakah Terem Goy Eli Yisrael, the Stivum Mikam Kaiser Goyachad, the Chesed Bum Chatas is called Tzedakah Vachesed Sha'akam Oisin, Chetul Lahen, She'en and Oisin Elo Lacharif Oisanu Boy, because they only give Tzedakah for the purpose of making fun of us through it. In other words, Rabbi Gamliel said to pride themselves.
How do they do that?
Because we're going to quote a pasuk in a second, but the point is, we're saying, like, they give tzedakah, and then we say, look at us, we're the moral guys, and you guys are, you know, you...
To mock us.
Yeah, to mock us, or whatever, like, you know, we're the one, you know, we're the ones who are, you know, who are out... We're the people who are out for the rights of the oppressed of the world, et cetera, you know, and you're,
right,
you know,
US, right.
you have what goes on in the UN all the time, for example, yeah. Shenema, you have a point.
When they don't do that,
then it's a good thing, fine. But we're saying that the Ovid Kavavim do it to Yeshua.
True.
Yeah. As we find Shenema, as we find a pasuk where we find a pasuk where Goy invoke something that the Eibishter said in order to shtech the Jewish people, like in order to shtech the Jewish people, like, look, you didn't listen to Hashem, and look what happened to you. Right after the Churban, the pasuk describes that Yirmiyahu is going with all the Jews who are being exiled to Babel. Nebuzaradan comes over to him and says, look, what happened is exactly what you said was going to happen. Hashem brought it, and he did exactly as he said, because you sinned against Hashem, you didn't listen to his voice, and therefore this thing happened to you. It's like he's twisting the knife in there. That's what Rabbi Elazar Amudoya is saying. That the goyim gives tzedakah in order to be able to do that. And that's a bad thing.
Who was saying that?
This is Nebuzaradan. Nebuchadnezzar's general was saying that to Yirmiyahu, yeah. Nenirim Nechunyak ben Akonabomer.
Was he punished for that?
I don't think we find that he was. No, he was a Rosh anyway. But yeah, anyway. Nenirim Nechunyak ben Akonabomer. Here's another way of looking at the pasuk. Tzedaka Tiroimim Goy V'chesed. The V'chesed of the pasuk still refers to the first half. Tzedaka and Chesed lift up the Goy, meaning the Jewish people. Ulaumim Chatas. The Laumim just have a Chatas because they don't give Tzedaka B'chlal. Or if they do, their Chesed is not even a Chesed for the various reasons that we said. His explanation in the pasuk seems better than my explanation and then all of your explanations. Because he explains that the tzedakah and the chesed are referring to the Jewish people. And all he's giving to the goyim only chatas.
Why is that better?
Because it's like this. You could say, okay, the goyim are doing some level of chesed, but it's tainted with ulterior motives and whatever. According to Rav Nechoni ben Akone, he's making it clearer. The pasuk is saying, the chesed of there is not even a chesed. So, we're saying Rav Yechon ben Zakkai says, I prefer Rav Nechoni ben Akone's explanation over mine and over yours, but we haven't heard an explanation from Rav Yechon ben Zakkai. Miklal de Hunami Omer. The implication seems to be Rav Yechon ben Zakkai himself gave an explanation on the pasuk. What is that? Titania, as we learn in a braisa, Omlahem Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai, it means like this. All of you were assuming that the word chatas over here means a sin. You're explaining how for the goyim it's a sin in one or another way. No, another way of explaining it is it means chatas like a korban chatas. Kishem sha chatas mechaperis. Are you still just as a chatas atones for the Jewish people? Zaveres, kach tzedakah mechaperis alam asorilam. So also giving tzedakah atones for the sins of the goyim.
And that's what's going to happen.
So, well, that's what he's saying, that nevertheless, from the Chunim and Akana's explanation, that their chesed is not really a chesed, is preferable to mine, which gives them credit for the chesed that they do. So, further on this topic of Goyim giving tzedakah and the results of it. So, as a matter of fact, the halacha is that no. Elsewhere, I don't remember where it is, maybe it's also in Ksubas, I don't remember. The Gemara says that actually, no, a Yid should not take tzedakah from a Goy in public because then it makes a bizoyan. Like, then the Goy has all the more reason to preen himself on, look, you know, your fellow Jews aren't even helping you and I am.
But he can take from it.
So, it's considered to be. Privately, I think it's allowed. I don't remember the details over there, but yeah, there's a discussion a bit elsewhere in the Gemara about taking tzedakah from goyim. It's not such a simple thing. Okay. So, now in our Gemara, Ifrahum is Imid Shabramal. So Ifrahum is, we talked about her the other day, she was the queen mother of Persia, the mother of Shabramalka. Now we find she was a goiter. We find a number of places. So we had a couple of days ago. She had sent money to one of the Amoroyim who was this over there of Yosef for a great mitzvah, and he ended up using it for Pinyan Shvuyim. So now also she did this another time. She sent Shadra Aramea Dinu Rav Ami. She sent 400 dinim for tzedakah to Rav Ami. But he didn't want to accept them because he held that you shouldn't accept tzedakah from goyim because you don't want to give them the split. Okay, so one explanation, actually, usually Rav Ami and Shas is one of the famous Amoroyim in Eretz Yisrael, which in that case, fine, he's not under her jurisdiction anyway, he's not obligated to accept it. If he sends it back, fine, you know, he's not there. Shadrinu kameh de Rava v'kablinu mishum Shloi Malchus. Then she sent it to Rava, and he accepted it because of Shloi Malchus, to keep peace with the governor.
Yeah.
However, Shomer Rav Ami, So as I was going to say, this Ifrahum is, we find in a few places in Shas, besides in Ar Gemara over here, we find in a few places in Shas, she was very respectful of the Chachamim. In Gemara Nida, it even mentions that when she had Dam Nida, she would send it to the Chachamim to check, is it really Nida or is it something else?
She was a
goita, but the Rashi says over there that she was Kroival of Das Yisrael. Like she was sort of like, in some ways, she had a certain affinity towards Yiddishkeit.
So was she sending from Yiddish?
Not necessarily, no, but she had a certain respect for it, yeah. Anyway, so Rava accepted it from whom Mishum Shloim Malchus. Shama Rav Ami Ichban. Rav Ami heard about that, and he was very upset with her, with Rava. Omar, he says, Leslie Bivosh Sira to Shavarna Noshim Boris Meiris Aisa. Don't you hold of the meaning of what it says in the Pasuk, when their harvest dries out, when their plants dry out, then women will come and set them on fire, meaning the metaphor is, Rashi says, that the goyim are compared to plants that have sap in them, they're fresh, they're fire resistant, but when they dry out, when the schut of their mitzvah dries up, then noshim, then they'll break, and even noshim, even weaker nations, will come and conquer them and break them. So what are you doing? Taking tzedakah from a goyish queen, where therefore the schut of that is going to cause
meaning nashim from the goyim.
Meaning nashim, not women. Not we're not talking about like Amazon warriors. We mean like in other words weaker goyim who are like women compared to the stronger goyim who are like men. Anyway, the point is that the Rav Ami is saying, how are you talking? You're taking tzedakah from her, and therefore you're giving a schut that their empire is going to last longer. So what would Rava answer that? Mishum Shlem Malchus. Okay, but I didn't have a choice. We got to keep peaceful relations with the government.
And who knows? Maybe that Malchus was better than the Romans.
It may well have been, but nevertheless, you still want that ultimately the Goyim should use up all their schosim, and that's it. Then they have no more schosim, and then they break into pieces. I once heard, actually, some 30 odd years ago, when the Nebbe started the whole campaign about Shev Mitzvah Me'anayach, I heard that there was some Rav in Eretz Yisrael who was opposed to it on the basis of this. How are you talking? You're going to give them tzchosim. The obvious answer is it's a little bit different. They don't have a mitzvah to give tzedakah. They do have a mitzvah to keep the Shev Mitzvah Me'anayach, and that is part of Mosakin Arlem Mamachos Kin Dalad Yud, which is the necessary preparation for Mashiach. Them giving tzedakah is not. Therefore, Rav Ami is upset about that. So, Rav Ami Nami Mishum Shlem Malchus. What would Rav Ami answer to that? Taka, Rav has no choice because of Shlem Malchus. The answer is Dibor Lele Mifliginu Lani Obrikachavim. Yes, he says, but you, Rav, fine, take the money, but give it to Goyish poor people. Don't give it to Jews as tzedakah.
For the sake of Shlem Malchus, for the sake of what?
For the sake of Shlem Malchus, take it from them. But Rashi explains on Yud Aleph Amud Aleph, it won't be Gnevas Daat. It's true, you're not allowed to do Gnevas Daat to a Goy. You're not allowed to mislead him. However, Goyim know that Jews give tzedakah to Goyim as well. Therefore, give it to Goya Shapur. She won't be offended because she knows that Jews commonly do that anyway. And therefore, you'll have covered all your bases. But it still won't, you'll have Shlem Malchus, but it still won't be considered that she had the schus of tzedakah to Jews. But Rava Nami, so what would Rava answer to that? Yeah, Nami Lani Evkav Miyavina. That's exactly what he did. He gave it to Goyish poor people. But Rav Ami Di'ikbar, the wives of Rav Ami, upset at him. Because they didn't tell him the whole story. They just told him that Rava had accepted the money for tzedakah, and therefore he was upset, but they didn't tell him that he gave it to Goyish poor. Yeah. Tanya, we learn in a braisa. Omru all about Binyamin HaTzadik, Shemimuna al-Kubba Shal Tzedakah. They say about Binyamin HaTzadik that he was in charge, he was the Gabbai Tzedakah, he was in charge of the Pushka, of giving out money.
Binyamin HaTzadik and Binyamin Binyakin?
Who probably not. No, I don't know. Some person, I don't think we find him anywhere else. No, it's not Binyamin Binyakin. One time a woman came to him for tzedakah during years of drought. Amaloi Rabbi Parnasani. She asked him, Rabbi, give me parnasa, give me what to eat. Amaloi, he said to her, Avoida, I swear by the Avoida in the Bismithish, she ain't the kubba shal tzedakah klum. There's nothing left in the kubba shal tzedakah. Amaloi, she said,
did he check before
that? Yeah, obviously he checked. He wouldn't swear by the Avoida, otherwise he was a tzaddik. Amar lo, she said to him, Rebbe, im ein asem afanaseni, but if you don't give me food, hare isha v'shiva b'nei amesim, then a woman and her seven children, meaning myself and my seven children, mesim, I'm going to die of hunger. Amar apirna semishaloi. So he went and supported her out of his own money. His attacker was nothing left in the kubba shal tzedakah, but he gave her out of his own money.
So he did something Shmuel didn't do when
the lady came. Oh, no, that was a different thing. She wasn't complaining because she needed tzedakah. She was complaining she needed justice. But yeah. Okay, all right. Anyway.
If I'm known that she was mother seven children, and she had absolutely nothing against him, he wouldn't have even said.
He probably wouldn't have even said in the first place. Avoda, yeah, but still like this. He figured at first, so that's the thing. Mepharshim explained that at first he figured, okay, the situation's probably not so desperate. Look, chayecha koydmin, you know, your life comes first. I need it for myself and my family. Once he realizes the situation is that desperate, then he has to give it. He didn't at first, but now he did. Marshall also adds, based on the Gemara we said before, it's not like he told her he's giving her out of his own money. That would embarrass her. He pretended like, okay, you know what, I found something in the Kupashot Tzedakah after all. Sometime later, he became very sick, and he was near death. Omru Malach HaSharis Lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Malach HaSharis said to the Eved Shidur Bunei Shleilim, Ata Omar Tachol Makayim Nefesh Achaz Mitzvah Kila Kiyam Olam Malay, you say, Doch, it's Mishnah and Sanhedrin based on a pasuk, that anybody who keeps alive one Nefesh of the Jewish people is as if he kept alive the whole world.
I've
mentioned it many times. It's based on that Mishnah over there. Rashi explains, for one thing, because we find when Cain killed Hevel, and the Eved Shidur tells him that the killed Me'achicha, Tzayakim Eli, that's not just him, but all of his potential future generations. So yeah. So what should Binyamin Asadik, who kept alive a woman and her seven sons, should he die at such a young age? Miyad Korolo Exargin, so immediately Exargin was ripped up. Tana, and we learn in a Braisa, 22 years were added to his life.
Why did he have to, someone has to plead on his behalf?
Why
did Avi Shter do that? Didn't do it automatically?
Because you need a limud zchus.
What do you mean you need a limud zchus?
The Eved Shter knows. Look, everything is a Nivra of the Eved Shter. When we talk about the Malach HaSharis arguing, they themselves are Nivroim of the Eved Shter. But sometimes, so to speak, the Eved Shter needs to hear it from a Nivra's perspective. You have Das Elyon and have Das Tachton, right? From Das Elyon, maybe, okay, you know, the guy's finished what he accomplished on what he needed to accomplish in this world. Let him go to the Olam HaEmes. From the point of view of Das Tachton, of a lower way of looking at things, look, but the guy needs physical life on this world also. Why if it's 22 years? There's a lot of different explanations among Makoshim. It's the 22 letters of the Aleph phase because he enabled them to continue living and then learning Torah. And the Chassam Sofer says an interesting idea that you have those seven children, and because they all survived, they eventually were able to have children of their own. Each of them needs to have a son and a daughter to be a time period of Rebbe. So you wind up so far just in those immediate generations, Hur, seven children, 14 grandchildren, total 22. Therefore, 22 years of life. And Ion Yaakov, one more, Ion Yaakov makes a calculation. He says 22 years is at 12 months per year.
Just for the grandchildren, we don't
know. The Ion Yaakov, and Ion Yaakov gives a different calculation. He says 12 months in a year, so 22 years comes out to 264 months, plus there's 8 Ibur Yaron in 22 years, you have another 8 months, comes out to 272 altogether, which is a gematria of Ra'av, which is what he saved them from. Therefore, he's entitled to 22 extra.
272 is Ra'av.
272 months. 272 is the gematria of the word Ra'av, so therefore he earned himself 22 more years. Yeah. What? The grug is a different part. The grug comes at it without considering the Ibra month. He says something like this, because he says, we learned before that you get 11, you, 20, huh? That's not the calculation I saw from the Gro was a different one, actually. We talked before about the 11 brachas that a person gets for helping out an oni. So here he did it twice over. So therefore, 22. There was some other calculation. Each one of them earned him, and each one of the brachas that he got earned him an extra 3 months of life. That's what it is, I think, because he saved 8 people, so it came out to 88 brachas, times 3 months. 3 months for each one of them earns him 264 months, which is 22.
Nine months from
the other, so 24 months. Okay, I hadn't heard that one. Okay.